Hello and welcome to PBS Western Reserve's City-Centric podcast series. My name is Jeff Good, and this podcast series serves as a companion to our City-Centric TV series, which takes a closer look at the community members that are centric or central to the pulse of each featured city. Community members like the entrepreneur, the entertainer, the revitalizer, the politician, humanitarian, and even the future are featured in each of the city-centric episodes, appearing weekly exclusively on PBS Western Reserve starting in September. The city-centric podcast series takes a deeper dive with each of our featured city-centric community members, looking even further into what makes them city-centric and really what makes their city centric to them. Today's guest is proud Alliance community member, revitalizer, and historian, I'll give him that title, Ed Albert. Ed, thank you so much for participating in today's podcast.
Thank you for the invite. I'm glad to be here.
Well, Ed, I got a chance to meet you, as well as other folks will have a chance to meet you when they see you on the Alliance City Centric series. But I met you very briefly. So please take a moment to kind of describe yourself, describe your background, describe where you're from, and then anything else you'd like to share about you to our listeners.
Okay. Well, I am a Alliance native. I did come from a decent-sized family, not near as big as my father's, but my father came from 15 kids, and we came from five. One thing I did do is I grew up in this town. I spent a lot of time here running these streets as a young kid. I had a lot of good growth here. What I did is I ended up down the road as I grew up, and I was a welder, I was a mechanic. I did do car sales for a time period. And then I decided that I wanted to do something to where I can involve my children. And I basically walked away from the car sales spot and decided to start trying to do something to involve them. I brought my father in on it with me. And we both started this business called Pocket Change about 12 years ago. And through the time of doing the Pocket Change, we grew to a point where we decided that, hey, you know, we would like to be a part of being, you know, in downtown. There's two other antique shops down here. Some other things were starting to grow and pick up that we wanted to be a part of it. And we ended up coming down and buying the old JCPenney's building. And then started fixing it up and being a part of getting groups of people down here to start bringing the town back, because it had been a town for growth before when I was born, a wonderful growth, and it went away for 35 years, 40 years. So being a part of bringing it back was important to me.
So Ed, I do this with every guest, and I know I sometimes make folks a little uncomfortable, but it's my icebreaker. So I want you to come up with two truths and a lie, and I'm going to about you. And then yep. I'm going to be forced to figure out which one of those three things are a lie about you.
Okay. At one point in my life, I was a skateboarder. As I grew up, there was another point in my life that I used to dance in dance clubs. And the third one, in my life, I raised four children. There's three.
Okay. I'm not in any way questioning your dancing ability, but I'm going to say it's the dance hall.
Okay.
So am I right or am I wrong?
You're right.
I by no means am I questioning your dancing ability, but I just, yes. You know, it's so tell me a little bit about your first truth. You're a skateboarder. Was that in Alliance then?
Oh, of course, yeah. We back when we did it, there was no skate parks. You know, there was none of that type of stuff. So we were the ones on the concrete just going down the street and we get kicked out of different places, and now they've made skate parks for kids, which I think is wonderful. In fact, Alliance has a great one now, which gives an outlet for the kids to go to instead of getting chased out by the business owners or the police or whoever doesn't want you there, you know?
I grew up in the same type of environment, and getting outside, I'll get on that soapbox, but getting outside, I think, is so important for our children, but I'll leave it at that. Yeah. I'm so glad you were a skateboarder. Let's think for a minute. What I loved about it, I watched the episodes more than a couple times, and I really enjoyed and really loved your description of what a revitalizer is in the Atlantic, city-centric program. So take a moment, if you wouldn't, and let our listeners know what you feel a revitalizer is, and then I'm definitely going to put you on the spot, because I'm going to make you tell our listeners why you think you fit that description.
Okay. Well, what I think a revitalizer is somebody that takes, you got to kind of put your, it's more of an emotional thing, and you got to put away your, hey, this is going to work, this is not going to work. You got to run with it. If you believe in it, it's something you see, it's a vision, you got to go after it. And one of the things that we did when we came down here was, first thing we did was invited every business owner on the downtown. And we brought them in, supplied dinner, and let them know, hey, this is our store. This is what we're doing. We'd like to invite you guys in to see what we're doing. And we want to be a part of your guys down here. But not only do we want to be a part of it, I let them know that they were here before me. But one thing I want to do is get everybody talking, working together, create growth together. Because as a business owner, it's hard to create growth in an area that there is none. And everybody keeps to themselves. So my idea of a revitalizer was to try to create growth, revitalize the building I'm in, and then get people walking up and down the street again. Because for 35 years, if you would have come to downtown Alliance, the busiest business on this street was the B&B. And, people are coming in and out of there all day long. And how do we get people to get out of their car and go into the stores that are down here trying to make it? And we've had growth. We have people walking up down the street now, and it took everybody. I came down, I was a spark, but I wanted just to be the spark to try to get everybody else going. And of course, run my own business within that.
So in the series, you talked about two different suburbs of Alliance, and that's Alliance and Mount Union. So take a moment, describe the differences between those two communities, those two suburbs that made up Alliance, and then the similarities of those two suburbs, and then what you thought really was needed to pull those two suburbs together.
Well, the original Alliance part was made of three different burbs. There was the Freedom. I can't remember them all right off the top of my head, but there's three little burbs that were together down here that had originally started in 1850s, or maybe a little earlier than 1850s, somewhere in that area. And then when they came together, it was called Alliance because it was the unification of three burbs because of the railroad coming through, created the Alliance coming together. Mount Union was its own separate little village up the road. I'd say it's probably 2 miles, 3 miles up the road, and it was called Mount Union. They had the college up there and so on and so forth. Those eventually came together and united again to create the full Alliance, which is bringing in another burb of the area. In Alliance, just the growth that has happened since I've been a kid has been growing outside of the downtown and has grown to a point where State Street's one of the busiest streets in Stark County, the county we live in, but downtown has suffered because of it. So the biggest part of where Alliance had started had been forgotten, and now we're trying to bring it back.
You made a reference in the Alliance City-centric show that history can be forgotten. Yeah. And I really love that comment. If you had to tell folks, obviously you're big on history in the area, what were like your top 3 to 5 discoveries that you made as you've done kind of your overview of the history of Alliance that you would really like people to know about? And then taking your term, history can be forgotten, what are those 3 to 5 things that you want people to know about and then remember about Alliance?
Well, Alliance was one of those towns that there was so much history here that people don't even know it. There are 8 of the world's most produced items at one point were in this town. Every factory has an overhead crane in it. If you look up the crane, it's either Alliance Machine or Morgan's, both which are here. And if you ever opened up your garage door opener, it says Genie on it. That was invented here. The antenna rotor was invented here. The old rotating antenna with the box out, you know, you turn the thing to which way you want it to point. There was so many things that were produced here, most people don't even know about. People that had visited this town, Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, Mark Twain. I mean, these are people that you know just by the name alone. They used to come here and visit with Mr. Morgan. The ride through history from after World War II, when they rode through to let everybody know that the war was over, they rode through here and stopped at our castle. So, I mean, there's so much history that most people that even live in this town don't even know about because we don't publish it. We don't promote it. There's a lot of people that do, but there's people that are local that I've asked about, oh, really? That's all here? They had no idea.
Very interesting. And I'm certainly hoping that what you're talking about will allow folks to really remember and not lose sight of that history. But as we reach out to our listeners, I want to let everyone know that you're listening to PBS Western Reserve's City-Centric podcast series. The City-Centric television series is not just about the city, but more about the people that are central or centric to that particular city. TV series focuses on the revitalizer, the entertainer, the entrepreneur, politician, humanitarian, and we even take a closer look at the future that each community member can claim makes them city-centric. The City-Centric podcast series takes a deeper dive with each of our featured city-centric community members, and we look even further into what makes them city-centric and then what makes their city centric to them. So be sure to catch all of the City Centric Season 1 appearing exclusively on PBS Western Reserve, and that's premiering in September. And we're so pleased to be talking to Alliance Revitalizer Ed Albert and what makes Ed Alliance City Centric. So we talked a bit ago about you're obviously very connected in the history of your area. And I know we talked a bit about, I've got some folks that I know are very involved with history, and there's always like a trigger point. So I'm going to ask this question, you know, at some point in your life, the history of Alliance really intrigued you and led you to become kind of a revitalizer because of that history. I think it's fair to say that after you've gone through your bio and all that, but do you remember kind of that moment when you realized how important the history of Alliance was to its future?
Well, as a kid, I grew up, I always liked history. I always liked the you know, hearing the stories of the old folks talking at the table about what was here, what wasn't here. So it was a lot of that we grew up with, even though I was not an excellent student. So by all means, history was my best class. Yeah, as far as that goes. But there was a lot of times that I grew up listening to the stories, hearing about what was here, what wasn't here, what, you know, those type of things. But what really clicked for me was when I started opening up this business. And as I grew in the business, hearing the stories of people telling me my aunt worked there, my uncle worked there. And then what I started doing was I collected Alliance memorabilia. When I opened my store, I started creating this Alliance collection. As the Alliance collection grew, I sat down with the local historians. I hear them telling the stories about the Gordon cannon. It used to be made by Morgan's, which was for our ships, for the military. That's how he got his start. There's a lot of history that, you know, they had been brought out through me opening up the business that really got my eyes going, hey, I'm not just selling antiques here. I'm selling stories, history, where it came from, how it got started. And that is what grew inside of me that I didn't realize it was as important as it was, to really figure out where it all started, when it happened, how this got started, where Uncle Joe used to build this part in the factory and where that sat in my mind in the factory, you know, trying to see all those things I thought was really cool. And it just is growing more. And I'm getting more and more interested in it every day, especially as I see the things that I didn't know that existed, even hearing the old stories, to find out this happened or that happened. It's like, man, there's more here than I know about. And so it caused me just to go down this rabbit hole of trying to find out as much as I can.
And it sounds like the you haven't filled in the rabbit hole at all. It sounds like you still continue to learn and educate yourself. It sounds that way, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Every day. We got the local historian that comes down on our first Fridays we started, and he sets up, and I look through the photos. I'm like, where was this at, Don? Because his name's Don. I go, where was this at? And he'd tell me the whole story about it. And he brings new photos every first Friday. It's great to see.
So you don't have to go into a lot of detail, but as a revitalizer and and basing this upon the history, I'm sure along the way, you know, you ran into some roadblocks. Maybe some things didn't quite work out the way you hoped. As you kind of built, as I'm going to call you, as you built yourself as the Alliance Revitalizing Evangelist. What are some things that you learned from those? You know, you obviously had some of those along the way. What are some things that you learned from those roadblocks as you move forward?
Well, not ever opening up a business before. This was my first business. I just went ahead and ran through it. The roadblock, of course, I didn't have a lot of bad roadblocks because I believe that the only way to eat an elephant, is one bite at a time. Just go after it and keep going. But the biggest roadblock I faced was COVID. Obviously, that I was not prepared for anything for that. And there was nothing that was out of my hands. I had to shut down. And I just bought the building and opened up in November, had to close down in March. So obviously that roadblock I wasn't ready for. That was probably the biggest one for me. The first roadblock I had, I could say I was in a space that I had leased, but it was also in the contract that if a major box store came in and wanted to rent the space, then we have to sell it to them. And that was in the plaza up on State Street where I started. And I signed the contract knowing that, saying, hey, nobody's been in this plaza. I'm the first guy that's probably been upgrading this plaza in probably 5 years. And so I just went and signed it. Within 8 months, we got our letter that said that somebody is renting the building, which was Planet Fitness, and we have to vacate the property and pick another spot. So that was a hurdle. That wasn't near as bad as COVID, believe it or not. We packed up, moved down 8 doors to a different spot in the plaza, and reopened back up within 45 days. And that wasn't as bad as COVID because we were able to stay open at the one spot while we made the move. You get what I'm saying there? Mm-hmm. So it made it so we can continue on. So I'd say probably the biggest and hardest was COVID. We still haven't completely overcome that because we're trying to do is get people back to used to walking downtown. When you shut a downtown down or an uptown down or wherever you go, if you shut it down, people get used to not going there and they find a new place to go to. So you got to get them retrained to come back down and being a part of it. And so what we've done now is we've developed First Fridays in December was our first one, and we've been running it ever since. And it's to get people used to walking downtown again.
So in front of you, Ed, is a crystal ball. And in that crystal ball, through the cloud and through the, I always try to think of what a crystal ball always looks like. Very, very mysterious. But you see, yep, slowly forming through the cloud the future of Alliance. What do you see as that future of Alliance when you look in that crystal ball?
Well, what I see here in the future is it's starting to grow now. We're working in that direction. So my crystal ball, we're bringing in Heritage Ohio. In October, they're going to evaluate the downtown, and they're going to tell us what we need to do to help create more growth. We started the First Fridays with their lead on it. And from there, we're going to start developing other ways to get people down here, business owners. We want to see shoulder to shoulder people downtown, just like it used to be. And so that's where our crystal ball is. We want to see growth to the point where we have a problem with not enough parking. We have a problem with how are we going to take care of all these people? Because that's a good problem to have.
I was just going to say all of those things are I've always learned about good problems, and that's a good problem to have.
Yes.
So I asked my last question, and I hope you had an opportunity to think about this, but Ed Albert, revitalist and historian for the rich history of Alliance, what qualities, characteristics, personalities, or a combination of all of those makes you city-centric?
Well, I tend to get along with about everybody. I able to have a conversation with just about anybody. I don't have a problem with going up and talking to them. But at the same time, you have to have a dream to start with. So as you go up and talk to these people, you present your dreams, what you think, your crystal ball effect, what you think the outcome will be. And if they want to get on board, it takes more than just one person. It takes the combination of everybody involved, as you had mentioned earlier in the thing, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 people. I want to be that spark. And I believe that what I have been so far is the spark to ignite that direction. And it's got a lot of wonderful people that have picked it up and they're walking along, and we're developing a way to revitalize this downtown.
And I can't thank you enough for taking your time and being our guest on our City Centric podcast series. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. I appreciate being invited.
Thank you. And so everyone, our listeners, you've been listening to PBS Western Reserve City Centric podcast series. I'm Jeff Good, and I had the privilege of talking with Ed Albert from, I guess he would be called the revitalizer, and I call him the revitalizing evangelist of Alliance, and appreciate his time today. PBS Western Reserve's city-centric television series is not just about the city, but more about the people that are central or centric to that particular city. TV series is premiering exclusively in September on PBS Western Reserve. It focuses on the revitalizer, the entertainer, entrepreneur, easy enough for me to say, the politician, the humanitarian, and even the future that each community member can claim makes them city-centric. The City-Centric podcast series takes a deeper dive with each of our City-Centric featured community members, and they look even further into what makes them city-centric and then really what makes their city centric to them. So what makes a community member city-centric? Well, join us next time as we continue the conversation with those featured community members on PBS Western Reserve's City Centric series. And make sure to check out the City Centric series, premiering in September exclusively on PBS Western Reserve.